over head kick. And what a goal it was!
Stewart makes it 1-1.
And it is a gorgeous little chip.
This could well be the moment.
Yeah.
It is the moment!
Hello and welcome to Kickoff, the official podcast of NPL New South Wales and Football New South Wales League competitions. My name is Teo Pelizzeri, joined by my regular co-host, Henley Warner. Henley, it's great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Teo. It's been a pretty full-on month of football. You know, very exciting. A lot of big results coming out of some of the competitions. So, yeah.
It feels like we already have such a big chunk of football having been played and results and form lines, and yet we're only doing this in the middle of April. We've got so much of the season to go.
We're still at the start of the year, so we've got ages. But no, it's pretty exciting to see what's going on for the rest of the season.
We have some great guests coming up on the pod today. Elite football is well and truly in the swing of things. The Waratah Cup and the Sapphire Cups have got underway. And we will touch on a very interesting Waratah Cup score that we score as part of today's podcast. Henley, we need to talk about what else is going on around Football New South Wales as well, though. So please tell us some of the important things that our listeners can take note of.
Well, I said earlier that it's been a full-on, you know, month for Football New South Wales on the pitch, but also off the pitch, we have a lot of big things coming up. We want to encourage all clubs, members, associations to get involved. So on the 26th to the 28th of April, we have our Heart Health Round, and it will take place for the second time with Football New South Wales. It's an initiative of Heartbeat of Football Foundation. The national awareness campaign aims to turn sporting grounds across Australia red for heart disease and sudden cardiac arrest. Club participation kits can be found via the Football New South Wales website. So everyone, get into it. It's a great initiative to support. On top of that, from the 3rd to the 12th of May, we also have Female Football Week, and that will be celebrated nationally, acknowledging the contributions of female participants in all areas of the game. So to register and be a part of the week, we have official Female Football Week events, or if you want to nominate your local female football champion, head over to footballnewsouthwales.com.au for all your Female Football Week needs.
All right, so let's get into our moment of the month. Henley, I've picked the most obvious one of all time.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you lead off first. Where does your moment of the month take you?
Our moment of the month is actually last week for our match of the round for NPL Women. So I was down at Sydney Uni versus Blacktown Spartans out at Blacktown. And I have to say, I think goalies are the unsung heroes for many of the games that we watch or commentate. In particular, I want to give a shout out to Bailey Broomhead from Sydney Uni. That girl was a weapon, to say the least, at this game. 17 years old, had her first grade debut. I remember talking to Nick after the game, going on about how of an insane performance she had. You know, she only let in one goal, but you know what? That's, you know, still impeccable performance. Player of the match material, really impressed by her. I think she's one we really need to watch out for.
All right. Now, I said my moment of the month was obvious because it went very viral, as special goals tend to do.
Yep.
And Marcus Eunice of the Western Sydney Wanderers. Now, I must say, when Tony Tanous and I did the season preview podcast, neither of us ever imagined that Western Sydney Wanderers would be top of the NPL at this point of the season. I guess they do have a lot of players that are on the books of their A-League men's team, a lot of players that I think their A-League men's fans think should be playing at that next level up. So the Wanderers, I mean, last season they were battling relegation. This season, they probably, dare I suggest, already have enough points in the bank to avoid relegation, even at this early stage of the season. So it would have to be a precipitous decline from here for them to end up back where they were last campaign. With that said, the overhead kick from Marcus Eunice, he is known as the human highlight reel for a reason, and that overhead kick he scored against Manly United. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm amazed you found this podcast before seeing that goal. There's a very good chance it's the other way around. You saw the goal, now you're listening to us. But congratulations to Marcus. And I think broadly, congratulations to Wanderers on the magnificent start that they've made to the campaign. So let's stay with that theme of NPL men's, because we have a different young gun who knows all about the A-League system but is now strutting his stuff at one of the blue blood clubs of the NPL New South Wales men's competition. Coming up next, stay with us here on Kickoff.
Every NPL New South Wales match, live, free and on demand on YouTube. Subscribe to the Football New South Wales YouTube channel today.
So let's go to our first guest, one of the young guns of NPL Men's New South Wales, and he's already shown us this season his eye for goal and some fantastic performances so far. Jordan Segretto, the 21-year-old from RPL Leichhardt. Jordan, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you for having me on. It's good to be here.
It has been such a competitive season. We're barely a third of the way through, and RPL are up near the top of the table, not quite at the pointy end. How do you assess it so far, given the season you've had and the high expectations that you've walked into in that RPL dressing room?
I'd say the start has been, you know, less than what we're looking for. But the expectations, you know, on the club is that we're the champions from last year, and that every team is going to be, you know, wanting to beat us every week. That's just what you do against the champions of the season prior. So every team's turning up wanting to win because it's a statement if you beat us. So every week, you know, we've got to be switched on and ready for a very tough game. So look, we're playing good football. We haven't found that consistency, I don't think, yet. And, you know, we always want to be up the top, setting the standard, and the team to beat again, backing up the premiership from last season.
Now, for you, it's a new team this year, which also means it's a new coach. You've got Franco Parisi, who had his maiden coaching campaign last year with RPL. And needless to say, like, he had a pretty successful season then. So what is it like coming from the guidance of Abbas Saad from Central Coast Mariners, where you're from, to Franco here at RPL?
Well, look, Franco, from the very first phone call we had, just showed his belief in me and how I could help the squad across different positions. He was open with me from the start, you know, that I would be helping out, you know, wherever the team sort of needed across different positions. But his approach to the team is, you know, he's obviously a very experienced player and was so involved with this successful RPL team. You know, a lot of the boys that are there still played with him. So he's transitioned smoothly, I think, to he's almost still, you know, one of the boys as it is. You know, he facilitates a very good culture with the team in his pre-talks, in his training session talks. And the way he is makes him very approachable, and you want to play for him in that way because he makes you feel valued and, you know, like you really want to play for him when he's backing you week in, week out, as he feels like as a teammate, but everyone also has that respect for him because of how his career unfolded and what he's done for the club.
It's always a big decision where a player goes after being in the A-League system. So when you left the Mariners, was that your choice, their choice, a mutual decision? And sort of, did you know that it was a decision you were going to have to make, or did it come as a bit of a surprise that your time at the Mariners was up?
No, it was their decision. From my end, the communication wasn't clear in terms of when it all was happening. You know, it kind of got sprung on me within a matter of 3 days, which, look, obviously there's, you know, I would have liked for it to have ended a bit better with, you know, how I felt I'd gone that season with the team and what I was originally sort of, not hinted, but the vibe that I was getting from the coaches and from training every week, you know, with the A-League squad, and then even a pre-season tour with the A-League squad to Thailand. It was all looking, you know, that I was going to get another contract. And then a couple of things happened, and it sort of changed within a matter of a week. And, you know, then before the end of the NPL season, last season, I got just pulled into the head coach's office and told that, you know, there was no spot for me. The main reason they said was that positionally. I didn't have a position locked down. So my versatility kind of is a good thing and a bad thing because, you know, they didn't really see me fit in one specific spot. So I didn't see it coming, but at the same time, it allowed me to regather my mental side of football, because that's, you know, very, very consuming, and it's an important part of playing. And I had, you know, 6 months to myself and just to kind of refine that passion and to get talking and seeing what opportunities would come. And, you know, Apia came along, and as soon as they came along, it was really no one else. As soon as you hear that the champions were looking to get you, you know, that's where I wanted to be straight away.
That can't be easy, though, because especially at such a young age, you've got to make that adjustment of aspiring to progress into the A-League team, and next thing you know, you've got to reassess the direction your career takes. Is that something that, you know, you rely on ex-teammates, family, guys you've come through the system with, or does it all come from within? How did you steer yourself through that time?
I actually relied a lot on, you know, old coaches that I've had, Andrew Christensen from the Wanderers, Luke Wilkshire, another coach from my school, Jason Fowlson, who he actually is almost like, he's a really good, even though he's, you know, the same age as my dad, he's still actually, I see him as a really good friend and a mentor. He contacted someone at Apia, but he helps me every day with, you know, little conversations and telling me to back myself and not stopping what I'm doing and reinforcing why I'm here in the first place. Jason for me was a good mentor, and also my father. He's so passionate about football and how, and watching me and how, and see how I develop. So he has my best interest, 100% backs me to be at the highest level. So a lot of senior mentors that I kind of bounced off, but they all helped in their own ways because of different relationships we've had over the years.
Now, on the topic of mentors and role models, you know, with this new club being at Apia, is there a particular player on the team or perhaps someone in management for you now that you look up to or that you'd like to base your gameplay off? Is that someone at Apia for you?
We have actually quite a strong senior group that have been there for, you know, a good core amount of time. I really have enjoyed coming in. Jack Armson, he's been there. I'm not actually sure how long he's been at Apia now, but he makes it quite a free-flowing, attacking. The way he plays, I find it takes the stress off the game. I don't know. He makes it seem like you have more time and kind of calms things down. I love playing with him. A lot of the senior boys, you know, Uchino is such a core part of our midfield. He barks and doesn't stop talking all game, but his work rate and his commitment to the team is amazing. So those two for me, I'd say, have been the most impactful. Both Joshy and Sean Simmons as well. Their experience has been you know, so helpful. Temba's a great he's been since I've come probably you know, one of the boys who I've got a bit closer to, just messaging and you know, supporting me, giving me good feedback. So yeah, they're all amazing. I can't speak highly enough of all of them.
Do you have a lens on what the road to professional football looks like for you, or do you like to get into the mindset of one week at a time, worry about trophies for Apia and picking up points, or have you sort of blocked out what the road back to a professional contract might look like?
Yeah, that's another question that I got asked on the article that I did through the week. I just, for me, it's more, I don't think too that far ahead. I just like to be in the moment and, yeah, not look and put pressure on yourself to finding that contract and to where you're going to go next, because that takes you out of the focus of what you're doing at that current time. So I just, yeah, the main focus for me is putting my best foot forward and just making sure that I'm almost creating the vision of what people see of me and opening those doors along the way through just being recognized for your performance. Like, it's, I feel like I'm 21 is no longer, you know, considered young in football. So to be 21 and being recognized for your performance, you've got to be really consistent and to prove that you're going to be able to cope with that level of football. So I think for me, it's just finding the consistency and you know, showing that I can play at that level.
Now, on the topic of, like, you know, with playing football and balancing all things like that, you also work in retail along with being a football coach for Knox Grammar, which is absolutely incredible. Is there a particular aspect through the coaching stream that has helped you with your own football game?
I loved it because, you know, I was with a young group of kids who you can form their view and their love for the game. So I wasn't as much coaching in and around such a professional environment. It was more really just starting the love and basic football, you know, knowledge. But that aspect of it is important because these kids have to find their passion and love from somewhere. And if there's someone that's giving that to them through their experience or, you know, what they've been taught, I find it, you know, it's rewarding that you can put a smile on their face and help them, you know, progress in some way. Hopefully finding their passion for football. But yeah, coaching is great for that.
Just within that school, is it still rugby union rules all, or is football making inroads into that Knox private school environment?
Yeah, well, when I was there, the football and my brother's year, actually 2 years below me, the football was, you know, on top. The rugby union struggled, I think, quite a bit, and the football had a really strong year group, a couple of year groups through the COVID years. And the program that they've got at the schools for a football program, you know, it's great. The professional environment that they give, you know, for a school program is great. So yeah, we always loved that at school when football was doing better than rugby, because it was such a rugby dominated school. And we would just quietly keep it to ourselves, but everyone knew at the time that the pressure was on rugby, and they weren't delivering. So football was, you know, more popular at the school than rugby at the time, coming through year seven, choosing the winter sports. So hopefully that's shifted a little bit.
Just before we get into some rapid fire questions to finish, we're talking to you on the day after your Australia Cup tie against Hazelbrook, where they scored first and then Apia scored the next 19 unanswered. How important is a cup run? Because we saw Apia on television a couple of times last season. They went to Shepparton to play the GB Suns. They had the match against Sydney FC. So they've been up in lights in recent times. How much do the boys get up for a cup night, especially given you've more or less played full strength against a team from the Blue Mountains, and there would have been a few raised eyebrows when you went 1-0 down?
Yes, it was interesting. It was great. You don't really often get the midweek fixture game on a Wednesday night at Leichhardt Oval, so that was special. And you could see, from Hazelbrook's perspective, being at Leichhardt, coming up against the NPL champions, they wanted to just experience and have, you know, a good support base there, which they did. They were pretty loud. They had a drum as well. But they, you know, they, fair play to them. They gave everything they could. And the first goal, you know, came from a long throw in into the 6-yard box, which we applauded. You know, we hate conceding offset pieces, but fair play to them. They scored. But a cup run starts, you know, you want to make a statement, and it starts from the first game, because you can so easily go into these games thinking it's done before it's even started, and that's where the cup sets happen, you know. So it's important to start strong, and set the base, because that's what you go off when you come to the bigger games against the A-League clubs, where you've seen also upsets happen, which we believe we can go, you know, all the way. It's important to start strong. So we wanted to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You've set the cup run on the right foot. So we'll see where it goes from there.
All right, Henley, get us into some rapid fire here.
All right. So we've got a quick 60-second Q&A, Jordan. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So what's your first football memory?
First football memory is buying a pair of boots with Dad. I've actually got a photo. Yeah, first football pair of boots.
Cute. Favourite football player of all time?
Oh, David Beckham.
Class. Day or night matches?
Night.
Best footballer you've played with?
Ooh. Oh my God, that's a tough one. I'd say Lachlan Bayless.
Okay, and go-to karaoke song?
Go-to karaoke song. God, I'm not good at this.
Well, what's the song that's like playing in the change room to pump the boys up before they go out then?
That you've stumped him.
Yeah, we're going next.
Under the next one.
Hope this one doesn't stump him. What's your biggest football ick?
Biggest football ick is high shorts and low socks.
And last one, the NPL team you most want to defeat this season?
I'd have to say, well, Marconi, we've done it, but Rockdale as well.
Tick, done.
Well, Jordan, congratulations on your start to the season, and thank you for being so giving with the answers about your journey to bring you to Apia, and we can only wish you all the best for the rest of the campaign, you and the team, and we look forward to watching what you can do from this point forward.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
A big thanks to Jordan Segretto. Henley, what a great guest. I mean, it's always difficult for players to talk about, you know, the elite sporting journey coming to an end. And I think the first thing you and I both said when we finished the chat with Jordan was, you know, how honest, you know, taking us inside the conversation when the Mariners said, sorry, it's over.
And I think, like, especially with, you know, with our podcast and things like that, we love hearing the success stories and, you know, the shiny parts of his career, but also, you know, stripping back that layer and hearing that raw emotion from him and the actual, like, journey of what it has been like for him between, like, the transition to Apia, I think it was really insightful, and I think it's something we should always, you know, have to remember. It's not just all the glitz and glam. There is a bit of a deeper side to it. So, yeah, good on Jordan for being so honest with us, because that was really insightful.
Let's get on to our next guest. We're going to flip the attention over to NPL New South Wales Women's on the other side of this short break. You're listening to Kickoff.
Day after day, Kappa rewrites the concept of sportswear. Kappa means teamwork, past, present, and future. Kappa never stops, because winning starts within. Two people, one brand. Kappa.
So it's time for our feature guest from NPL Women's New South Wales. And we're going to go to a club that has been there or thereabouts in the last couple of seasons, but this year they are hoping to win it all. And our guest from the Sydney Olympic Football Club is Demi Koulazakis. Demi, it's great to have you on Kickoff.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
So Demi, you join us still only early in the season. It's that point of the year where the A-League women's players haven't come back just yet. How have you assessed the start to the season for Sydney Olympic though?
I honestly, as a collective, I think we've had a pretty good start to the season. I think there's a long way to go, of course, and it's going to be exciting when the A-League girls do come back, because then it's a new challenge for all the NPL players, and I think it's great.
But the A-League Women's is a league you know well. You've been part of it for a long time. And I remember I was actually watching you play in a match, I think for Bankstown, with your old A-League coach, Alex Aparkas, and he was singing your praises about how you press and the distance you cover. And I'm just wondering, was it your choice or not your choice to not play over summer? And if so, you know, where's that left you at with your football?
I think the season just passed. I think last year I had... obviously, I got injured my first season at Perth with my knee, and it's an ongoing injury. So last year in April, I had surgery on my knee. So I think I just decided to take the year off and properly rehab and just play this NPL season and see how I go.
Now, at the start of this season, we had a preview podcast and we had predictions about particular teams who should watch out for. And I have to say, like, I've been really impressed by the start of the season that your team has had down at Peter Moore. You yourself have had a stellar start, leading the charge as the highest goal scorer. But what is it? What is it different about Sydney Olympic this year? What's the secret of the season?
I honestly think it's just that there's been a good balance of keeping it professional and actually enjoying the game. And I think as a collective and as a team, I think we're all going out there and playing for each other and really enjoying just having a laugh on the field and just enjoying it all together. So, yeah, I think that's the hidden thing.
There's been a bit of a core of players come over from Sydney Uni as well. You know, the Peaks and Tara Bordana. It seems as though there were a few new faces, but they were all adults as well. And often, I mean, you've probably had the experience of both being a young player in an environment with a lot of young players, but now also, you know, being an adult player, having to essentially babysit a lot of young kids while you're only in your early 20s. Now you're in an environment where there's a lot of adult players. Does that make the dynamic feel a little bit different?
Yeah, definitely. I'm honestly used to being one of the youngest. So I think being one of the oldest girls on the team, it's very, very different. Very different to be a mentor towards them. I think a lot of the girls know each other outside of football as well. So I think we've all come together being friends outside and just wanted to become family, really.
Now, on that wavelength about, you know, the younger players in the team, and really in NPL, we have a lot of girls that are stepping up into the A-League Women's this season. We've had, you know, Tiana Robinson in goals for the Jets, Indy Briar for Wanderers. Are there any younger players that you've seen so far or played against where you've kind of stood back and you're like, whoa, she's going to be a gun, she's on to good things in her future?
Yeah, definitely. There's honestly a few from Sydney Olympic that have really caught my eye. I didn't know who they were before coming to Olympic. I think Priya is one of the players to keep an eye out on. She's got a lot to learn, but she's got a lot of potential. So I'm excited to see how far her career goes.
As far as the aspirations from here, we know that the season is going to look different when the A-League players come back, but we also know that points in the bank can be very, very valuable. Has the team actually sort of assessed where they're at and sort of readjusted any goals for what you want to achieve, or is it still too early in the season to be talking about resetting the expectations?
I think before the season we set out our goals before the A-League girls came in and for even after they're going to come in, but I don't think they've really changed that much, to be honest. I think we're going to keep doing what we're doing right now and just go from there. Each week, take what we learn from each game and just keep going, pushing through. So, yeah.
Now, you don't strike me as a player that's had a huge number of injuries to contend with in the past. I mean, was the knee that you were battling the first major one you've had in your career, or is it something that you have had to deal with from time to time, missing stretches through injury?
No, so when I was 18, I actually broke my leg playing NPL. So it was pre-season cup grand final, and I snapped my tib and fib in half. So that was probably one of one of the major injuries I've had in my career. But yeah, the one 2 seasons ago was another one to add on.
There's one specific game we would be remiss not to ask you about, because the scoreline, it was one of those ones where people that don't necessarily follow the NPL, maybe don't even follow football at NPL level, saw it pop up and thought, what on earth happened here? The 7-4 game against Bulls Academy. When you get into a match like that and it's just goals flying in nonstop, what's it like to live in the moment of a game like that where it feels like the next goal could be just a minute away around the next corner?
Honestly, it is quite nerve-wracking when goals are just flying in like that, because at one point I had to ask the bench what the score was. So
that's not what you want to be hearing, hey?
That's Peter Moore. That means they need to build you a better scoreboard.
Yeah, exactly right. We need a scoreboard, Peter Moore. Come on. I didn't even know the score at one point because the goals were just flying in left, right and centre. But I think that game was a very high-scoring game, and hopefully there's less goals in than in our goal, especially. But, hopefully we can score more goals and keep that going.
Now, we can tell from your name you've got Hellenic heritage, but is Sydney Olympic a club that you had any family or historic ties to, or is it just a coincidence or the right time that you've ended up being a player with Hellenic heritage playing at Sydney Olympic?
My father actually played for Sydney Olympic growing up, so he played his youth there, so that's got a little bit of part of my family there. And also, my grandfather has followed football for as long as I can remember. He can remember. But, so he follows every single game. He buys the Greek Herald, which comes out every week of how each team goes. And honestly, he knows the score before I even tell him. So I think I need to be better at that, at telling him. But he just knows straight away. So, yeah.
Does it mean that little bit more then to represent that club and have those family ties and, you know, sort of that sentiment on top of, you know, actually going out and getting to play the games every week?
Oh, yeah, 100% it does. Like, there's so many fans that come and watch us play, especially a lot of the Greek fans that come, and it's nice. Like, I speak to them in Greek sometimes after the game or during the game, and they're cheering us all on. So it's just nice to see that there's people actually supporting us women footballers.
Now, not only have you played quite a myriad of experiences over here in Oz, but you've also spent about 4 years playing overseas in the US collegial system with Texas Tech University. Can you tell us a bit about that and like what is it like playing over in the US?
Honestly, it's a whole different experience. It's 100% professional, like hands down. You've got all the coaching staff you need to be a professional athlete, and I think we honestly need something like it here in Australia, because there's so many girls going over to the States just to play college and be able to study at the same time. So yeah, it's definitely such an amazing experience that I was fortunate enough to go and play.
And what are the crowds and atmosphere like? So like, talk us through what a game day would look like for you.
So game day, we'd play Friday or Sunday, so it depends when school would be on. So obviously some of us girls had to go to school in the morning, and then right after we finished class, we'd prepare for our game. So that could be going to the field maybe like 4 hours before and just prepping, psyching ourselves up and, getting taped, any treatment that we needed. And then we'd go out on the field and there'd sometimes be at least 2,000 people at our game cheering us on. It was just an unreal experience.
Now, some Australians, when they go to the United States, they lose the Australian accent straight away. You think of like Greg Norman, for example, sound like an American within 5 minutes. But did it have any effect on you whatsoever, or just at no point did you or your friends or family notice an American Texan twang starting to come into your voice?
No, I definitely did lose my Australian accent a little bit. My friends and family used to tease me a little bit because of it, but there's a lot of Texas slang that I picked up, and I started saying y'all and all these other things. But don't worry, now I'm back to normal. I'm back to being Australian, so it's all good.
Now you are going at a goal a game so far this season, and top of the scorers charts. Is A-League Women's something that is in your future? Do you have coaches or clubs or former teammates just staying in touch, or is that something that you've got to go and drive yourself if you want to make that return in summer? Or am I asking about something that's even too far away, given that we've still got so much of the NPL season to go?
No, I think definitely. My goal is to get back into the A-League, and I think if I'm doing what I'm doing right now and just pushing myself and honestly just enjoying myself, that's the main thing, because when I'm having fun, I'm playing my best football. So I think right now I'm just focusing game by game, and if an opportunity does arise, then of course, like, I'll take it, definitely grab it by both hands. But yeah, no, I think, yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, if an opportunity comes, I'll definitely be interested.
Now, on top of all of this, you also play futsal for the Mascot Vipers. We've had a few players like on the pod that have played, and they also say that, you know, futsal has dramatically improved their own game. How do you feel that the futsal has improved your own gameplay?
I honestly think it's a different type of skill that you obtain from playing futsal. And before this past season, I hadn't played since I was 14 years old, and I realised how much I actually missed it while playing with Vipers. It's just, it honestly made me love the game again. I think I felt out of love with football last year going through my injury and then just not enjoying it. And I think when I played futsal again, it made me enjoy it and realise like why I love to play.
Yeah, it kind of ignited that fire for the love again.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Now, Demi, we like to finish with rapid fire. So Henley's going to shoot 60 seconds worth of questions at you. Just give us the first thing that comes to your mind.
Oh, no.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine, I promise. All right, you ready?
Yeah, right.
All right, so first football memory you have?
When I was 6 years old, scoring and smashing all the boys.
Good girl. Favourite footballer of all time?
Messi.
Day or night matches?
Pardon, what was that?
Day or night matches?
All day, because I can't see at night.
Oh, no. The best footballer you've played against?
Senka.
Wow. Favourite post-game food indulgence?
Ooh, protein shake.
Go-to karaoke song?
Ooh, gosh, no.
How about just tell us who controls the playlist in the dressing in the change room? Yeah.
Priya, one of the young girls.
Dream stadium to play in?
Somewhere at home with my family in front of me.
Oh, beautiful. And biggest football ick?
Socks up to knees.
And the NPL team you most want to defeat this season?
Apia.
Beautiful. She was quick. I like her.
Well, you know, I think that, yeah, quick on the pitch, quick off it. Demi, thanks for joining us and giving us insights into where your football is at and also where the NPL women's season is at. May the goals keep flying in for you, and all the best to Sydney Olympic for the rest of the campaign.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A big thanks to Demi Koulouzakis. We hope you've enjoyed kickoff this month. However, if you missed last month's, don't forget to go back and listen to our chats with the Marconi Stallions' James Temelkovski and also Manly's Phoebe Gilbane. So we get the stars, we get the players that make their name and make the NPL New South Wales what it is here on kickoff. Henley, before we go, we've got one more segment we need to sign off on, and that is acknowledging our Players of the Month. You might have seen these on the NPL New South Wales social media channels. The Men's Goalkeeper of the Month was Blacktown City's Tristan Prendergast. Defender of the Month, St George's Troy Danaskos. The Midfielder of the Month from Sydney United 58 was Shunta Nakamura, who's been a superb contributor, and I will not surprise you in the slightest when I tell you that the striker of the month was the reigning gold medalist, Alec Uroshevsky. So there's your four players of the month in NPL men's. And those are accumulated from the 3-2-1 votes that the match reporters do at the end of every game and then accumulated over the course of the month. Henley, would you like to take us through our NPL women's players of the month?
So we're starting off with our goalkeeper of the month. We have Teresa Morrissey from MacArthur Rams. Going on with that MacArthur domination, we have Tennille Hay as our defender of the month. If we're going down, having a look at our midfield, we've got Daisy Arrowsmith, who has had a great start of the season with Manly United. And it is no surprise, we've had her on the pod today, Demi Koulouzakis, as our striker of the month for our National Premier Leagues for the women's. Teo, what a player of the month graphic. How good's this?
I just wanted to... Look, I got through the entire podcast without making a reference to being a Victorian.
Yep.
But I just want to say, Teresa Morrissey, I know her from her time in the NTC down in Melbourne. She went off to college in the US and now she's living in Sydney. It is so, so good to see her playing well. Fantastic talent. And hopefully this is the beginning of her professional career getting lift off with the Macarthur Rams. Couldn't think of a better club for her to be playing for, and it is fantastic to see her now in her early 20s starting to really get her football taking off, which is great to see. Henley, we will see you out doing Match of the Round social media into the future. Off the top of your head, you know where you're going?
Gosh, put me on the spot. Okay, I've got a few, a Christie Park coming up, which is always a nice little venue to go to.
You got a nice puffer jacket or something to wear?
I do.
I know it's April, but it's going to be getting cold pretty soon.
I've got a lovely Football New South Wales puffer. I'm sorted by the team. No, it's getting colder, but it's good. You know, we're back and having, you know, those night games. It's really starting to feel like a good season of football.
So on behalf of our guests and on behalf of my co-host, Henley Warner, my name is Teo Pellizzeri. Thanks for joining us on Kickoff. We'll be back with another episode in a few weeks. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. One to go, the overhead kick, and what a goal it was! Stewart makes it 1-1.
And it is a gorgeous little chip. This could well be the moment.
Yeah!
It is the moment!
Yeah!